Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and I'm thrilled to have a chance to participate in the Insight conference this year. And I really want to thank the organizers and just really express my appreciation for a fantastic series of events and also the publications. The conferences and publications are just unbelievable. I mean, they started with a vision, now it's happening, and I really think they're having an impact. I know they've had an impact on my life. I really, really respect the work and the conferences. So I just wanted to say that before I get started on my presentation, which has to do with mobile learning and basically ebooks and cognitive architectures. In a nutshell, how can you make ebooks and classics of literature work for you if you're developing a program that uses mobile learning? So let's hit the slideshow. Let's start, and let's go to the first slide, which would be after the introduction. Ebooks and mobile learning. So we know that mobile devices are growing in popularity. I mean, who does not have in your classroom, etc., especially in the United States, who does not have a cell phone, for example? Almost everyone does. Now it's getting to the point where everything is getting smaller, and there are significant new approaches, and I think obviously Japan is probably the leader of the technology and using mobile devices for reading books. But it's starting to take off and starting to come into different parts of the world, especially as cell phones start to be able to do more things. You can read text, you can download audio, you can download video, you can send video, you can interact with each other, you can text message each other, you can post to discussion boards, you can post to podcasts, you can do all sorts of things, and at the same time you can download classics of literature and read them from your mobile device. Now the question is, how can you make that work though? So the first thing we have to keep in mind is that if the point is to just read an ebook from your online course or from your mobile device and then enter in things in an online course, it's really not going to be motivating, and you have a high chance of total failure. Your students perhaps won't even finish the course. So we have to keep in mind that if we use online courses or mobile devices, we have to think about getting away from online practices and think about the strengths of mobile devices. What is that? And that happens to be interactivity, and it happens to be the idea of taking it into the situation. Next slide, please. So in this case, cognitive architectures matter because we have to know how the mind processes multimedia and the multimedia that you get in mobile learning. So again, let's think back to how people usually use their mobile devices, how they feel comfortable with it. Text messages, taking and watching videos, reading, interacting. Can we do that in conjunction with a learning activity like reading literature and responding to it? Let's see how we would do it. M-learning tends to be about interaction with the environment. It's not the immersion experience that you would get in e-learning. Next slide, please. So this is a slide that says the M-learning course. The M-learning course, if designed well, takes advantage of the constantly changing instructional context or environment. So you bring the ebook with you into the environment, relate it to current events, people, the people in your course, and you process it. And you also let it interact with the different types of information that are possible, so that the things that will hyperlink or click over or activate, so words linked to activation of sound or text that activates a video or visual. Next, please. E-learning content and resulting outcomes. This slide just basically talks about how the e-learning environment, with its vast resources and libraries and immersion multimedia, has certain kinds of learning outcomes that are ideal for that presentation of information. Next slide. M-learning content and resulting outcomes, very different. Instead of the immersion experience, instead of simulation, instead of something that you're kind of wired to, the portable interactive experience leads to a possibility of outcomes that include situated problem solving. Also, you can integrate multiple content sources, so you can get your video being sent from you, an image being sent to you, posting, reading text, all those types of things. You can gather data and create a kind of map, a mental map or a cognitive map. And M-learning allows you to integrate prior knowledge and develop a tangible solution as an outcome. So you can be very, very solution-based, problem-solving-based. Next slide, please. New technology, new strategies. I'm not going to read all of these types of this list of mobile technology capabilities. I'd like you to just kind of take a look. Now, this next slide, cognitive architectures, M-learning, instructional strategies. So the first one is Mayer's multimedia theory, and basically saying that it's better to have images and audio, but they should not replicate or duplicate the text. So in other words, with e-learning and e-books, rather, with e-books, be sure to incorporate some images and audio, but not replicating. If you replicate, you'll end up with split attention. So if we apply Mayer's multimedia theory, we can see this. And I put an example of Romeo and Juliet. Next slide. Sweller's cognitive load theory. Use and present material with more than one channel of media. It's a good way to create reinforcement, but not conflict. You don't want conflicting types of information being presented at the same time, because you will get cognitive overload. So, in other words, use the capabilities of the device for elaboration. So, Death of a Salesman, cognitive load balancing, and M-learning. I put an example here for Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. One way that you can make students interested is to situate the text, have them go out and take pictures or find places that kind of illustrate or environmentally elaborate the things that they're reading. Okay, next slide. Meyer Moreno's modality principle. Students learn better when verbal information is presented auditorially as speech, rather than visually as on-screen text. So at this point, you're probably glad that I'm not just reading the slides. So make sure that when you give information, it's consistent, it doesn't flip back and forth too much, it reinforces rather than conflict. And so, next slide, avoid competing multimedia. That's kind of hard to do with small handheld devices because it's all about diverse multimedia, but just think about it as you design. Next slide. Spatial contiguity principle, pretty straightforward. If you've got an image, be sure to put a label on it and write on it or next to it. Next slide. So spatial contiguity in Henry V, take that a little bit further, actually label, say, Henry V a hero. So you can incorporate labeling and conceptual schema building at the same time. Next slide. Paivio's dual coding theory. So again, verbal associations and elaboration. Think again about, this is perfect for multimedia, for M-learning, because you're trying to build verbal associations and elaborations. Dual coding theory, M-learning, next slide. Embedding auditory cues, very critical. Next slide. Idea, coding, and Othello. Here's a way to do that. And you can just read it. I won't read it for you. You can read it on the slide. Next slide is a summing up of M-learning and the ebook. Make it real, situate the literature, and make the image and the book and the content, the ebook, make it come alive. So, last slide, the future is bright. And click again for the very last slide. You can click the image, and you will get a video that I've uploaded to Google Video, and you can stream it, and I've made a presentation and video for this. So I hope you've enjoyed this. We're at about 10 minutes and 30 seconds. I will go. But thank you again. This is Susan Smith Nash, and I'm thrilled to be talking to you at the Insight Conference. Thanks, and be in touch.